Truth is stranger than fiction, but it is because fiction is obliged to stick to possibilities. Truth isn't. Hello and welcome to episode 31 of The Same Old Wombles. We are brought to you by some of us who put together Yellow and Blue back in the day. We're by the fans, for the fans, now and forever. Same Old Wombles is non-affiliated and proudly unofficial. I'm Mark Lewis. Never wrestle with pigs. You both get dirty, and the pig likes it. Today's panel features Alex Folks, Matthew Cooper, and back triumphantly from the US of A, Adam Proctor.
All I want to do is watch football. All I want to do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them.
Done what we should for. Free Hayden the Wombo.
What are you talking about?
Hayden the Wombo.
Well, I mean, it's not only what is Alex talking about, Mark. It's what you started, because I like the fact that over the last couple of weeks you've been quite sensible in your introductions, and now you've thrown some sort of pig wrestling into the mix, which alarms me in many, many different ways. Almost as much as alarming as Alex's song, which has got a poignancy to it. Alex, when are you releasing this important message?
A whole 2 minutes in captivity. I'm thinking I might need to improve my singing ability before we do that. But yeah, it's a reference for Adam's benefit, because Adam doesn't know what the heck's going on here.
That's the same every week, Alex.
It is the same every week. It's a reference to the reports we heard at the game last night, more of which anon, about... a certain furry, cuddly mascot maybe having a brief discussion with a member of the Plod, who may or may not have sought to prevent Hayden going onto the pitch before the match started. This is very third hand. I have no idea if it's true or not. But yeah, come on, let's face it. It would be a bit silly if it has happened.
Hang on, I still don't understand any of this. Hayden's allowed to go on the... He's allowed to go on the pitch, isn't he?
Don't worry about it, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yes, Adam, he is allowed to go on the pitch. But for reasons we don't quite understand, the Metropolitan Police, or one of the officers there, took offence to Hayden and stopped him going on the pitch, which is just the most hilarious things ever. And as a result... Alex and I have started the Free Hayden the Wombo campaign. As we say, it was a whole 2 minutes in captivity.
The irony of all this is Hayden the Wombo has a companion at all games to make sure he doesn't walk into anyone or inadvertently molest anyone. On some of those occasions, his companion is Mr. Chris Draper, brother of Nick of podcast fame. And Chris is, as far as I'm aware, a member of the Metropolitan Police. So he definitely wouldn't have done that. But Chris wasn't there or wasn't chaperoning him last night anyway. Dear, dear, dear. So what difference a day makes, a win makes, a game makes? First win since Stockport, I believe, way back at the end of January in the £5 every ticket game. Which is so long ago that it was like winter.
It was that amazing feeling, a feeling I haven't felt since then. In actual fact, this was more than then, because this was such a release of emotion, such a relief to get the result. It was absolutely fantastic. A really good performance from start to finish. Something I just hadn't seen before in ages. And Mark, you were saying last night, this is the same side that started against Barrow, but was the same side that started recently? It's not, is it? Apart from Jenkins was a change, wasn't he?
No, I mean, we should probably talk about Barrow first, because Barrow, obviously, A, we lost, B, we lost the lead again. So that was all very predictable and all very similar to what had happened in previous years, previous games. But actually, with Barrow, all the injuries came home to roost, so to speak, in terms of every player you could possibly have injured was injured. So I saw this online at the weekend. And this was a team. Zanef, Gunter, Brown, Pierce, Pierre, Kalambay, Jaisemi, Pell, Biller, Alhamadi, and Davison. That was an 11 that didn't play last weekend at Barrow because they were either unavailable in the Welshman's case or on international duty in the case of Pierre and Ali, and everyone else was injured. So, understandably, we had, I think, little or no expectation, especially as it was Barrow and massive respect to the 190-odd away fans that went all the way up there. But with such a decimated squad and the one man up front was Sakes, as they call him, Janet, hardly exactly an absolute bin worth of a centre forward. But again, apparently we played well first half, but only first half. And yet that was the great thing about last night, that we actually strung two halves of football together for the first time in who knows how long.
I think my feeling is that there were actually options off the bench last night, you know, strangely. You know, if we were able to have played Ali on Saturday and Pierre, because he was really good against Walsall last night, then who knows, that might have been a different result on Saturday.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the biggest change. I think the actual people available were slightly different, but not enough different to be the whole reason for why we had a good result last night. I think it was much more a team performance. It was impressive. I mean, from back to front, Broome made a couple of very, very good saves. And there's a picture during the rounds of him and Tans in the tunnel after the match, hugging. And that's really good to see. The back four worked. Will and Pierre together, you know, were really good. Will took a really good goal. I didn't think it was going to go in, but the keeper managed to put himself in the wrong position, and so it sort of looped over him. Pierre was really strong, especially in the first half, although that might have just been because we could see him better in that first half. The two wing-backs, full-backs, were good. Chiz was fantastic for the first time in ages. That setup really early on, 5 minutes or so, where he just took the ball into the box from the left wing, and he looked superhuman. He looked really good. He had one free kick as well, which wasn't too far over, but wasn't up to his, you know, the best that he's ever done. Casey McAteer, I'm still a bit dubious about. I think, as Mark said last night, he's trying too hard. He's clearly got some ability, but I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. And then we had Little playing as the deep-lying centre midfielder, who I thought was really impressive. Woody, who was, as somebody else said, we didn't notice him, certainly in the first half, apart from the header that went, was it just over or did it force a save? One of the two, anyway. But, you know, when you don't notice him, it's a good thing because it means he's not spending the whole time passing the ball backwards. And Janet ran like crazy. I don't think he's a brilliant centre forward. He certainly can't head the ball. He wants the ball into feet. But he stretched their fullbacks, their centre backs, who were big lumbering oafs who couldn't keep up with him. I don't think we quite managed to get the tactics right because I think we could have made more use for him. But, you know, it was pretty good. And I've forgotten somebody, some other central midfielder. But it was a really good performance. You get to the second half and we made a sub earlier than the 85th minute. And, you know, it was Ali who came on. Clearly, after all that international travel, he wasn't going to be fit for the full 90. But he came on, scored the second goal, which was a striker's poacher's goal. and he played really well. Then he got himself booked with the celebration. Then he got himself injured and had to go off again. But as a cameo goes, it was magnificent. Pearson came on and he did what he does, which is run really fast and scare defenders. So, you know, I thought overall it was a really good performance. I was very impressed by it. It made me feel good wandering home, just thinking, you know, this is actually quite a good team. And before I stop, one prediction for you. Next year, Ali Alhamidi will be the top scorer in League Two.
That was an amazing commentary of the whole game, Alex. Very, very well done, my friend.
That was Alex's audition for Five Live, I think.
I want to pick up on three players, just because of the little interactions with the crowd, something that brings it. So Oggs, Pearson and Little, all of them at moments had this interaction with the crowd. Oggs G'ing the side up and Little coming over to take corners and G'ing the side up, and then Pearson a little bit of shithousery with, you know, going to collect the ball and then just throwing it down and stuff like that, and, you know, acknowledging the fans. It's that sort of those sort of bits of interaction, I think, with the fans make it as well. But it was a tremendous performance, and Alhamidi is just a one hell of a find. And I think we should have had a third. I was just been looking at the goals, and they showed the offside goal, and I think Cheesy's level when the ball is played. But there you are. So that's my feeling. We should have had a third, and that would have been. God knows how many goals for Alhamidi, who's obviously going to be player of the season.
Poor Adam is now going green with envy, because the first performance that since probably Orient, another midweek game, where we actually hounded the opposition, properly hounded them. And it took until me walking home to realise that we were only playing that old style formation, 4-2-3-1, with therefore only the one up front who was Janne, as Alex eloquently described. But actually, that didn't matter, because Little playing ahead of the defensive midfield players, not being required to do the donkey work. The one player Alex missed out was Marsh. But actually, the job that Marsh does, you shouldn't notice. If you notice Marsh and Woodyard, it's because they're not having a great game, because, as Alex mentioned, they're passing sideways or backwards, which the crowd immediately get frustrated by. And they've done that since the very beginning of the season when Jackson started off playing three at the back. But they weren't doing that yesterday. I mean, Marsh was marking the 6'2" centre forward at set pieces, which seemed ridiculous to me. But apart from one that Broome made a very good save for, I think, frankly, Marsh held his own at every single opportunity. So fair play to him, really. Fair play to him all the way through. Go on.
Marsh must love the fact that Gunter's in our squad, because after the alleged comments that Marsh made to the crowd, which would have endeared him to them, must have been worried about the Boo Boys coming out for him. But now we've got Chris Gunter, who, if he ever gets announced in a squad again, I suspect he's going to get a rousing reception.
Do we think he ever will be in a squad again, unless we are really back down to the bare bones?
Well, we are back down to the bare bones, and I think we're going to stay that way. So I suspect that might be the might happen. But, you know, it depends whether Huss is a long-term injury or what. I think he'll be on the bench, but I suspect that he's going to get a bit of an aggro when he does get announced, because, let's face it, I think what we're disappointed with him, nobody begrudges a player who gets called up for an international game, even, and I'm not knocking him at all, and I'm not knocking the country, but, you know, Grenada is not the biggest international football team in the world. But Ali and Pierre going off to play international football, no problem at all. Gunter going off to be some sort of assistant coach for Wales, when that doesn't count towards international call-up, so it means our match against Barrow wasn't postponed and we had to do without a player. I think people see that as selfish, and I think that they'll let him know that. obviously Wales had a game again last night, so Gunter still wasn't back. You know, you've got to decide, are you a coach or are you a player? In this case, he's still a player. He's still registered to us. If he gets called up for Wales, that's great. Go with our blessing. If he gets to go and, you know, help field the footballs on the practice pitch, sorry, mate, that's something you can do next year when you've actually retired. That's not something to do this year. It's selfish behaviour, and it potentially leaves the club that's paying your wages in the lurch.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think probably there was always some sort of agreement that he was just coming in to fill in. I think probably from the start of it. And we did get some money, didn't we, from him going to represent Wales at the World Cup. So there was
when
some
he was
money.
A player. When he was a player and yeah. Brilliant. You know, don't I'm not knocking that, but you know, he wasn't playing, he wasn't in the squad to play. For Wales this international break. That's what I'm objecting to.
No, I mean, Alex, I completely get it. All I'm saying, I mean, we did get some compensation when he was at the World Cup. So there was a few thousand quid that we, tens of thousands, I think, we got from him not being with us. But yeah, it's not a good look. And I think our perception would be that he's just seeing out his contract. He's just seeing out time on whatever salary he's getting. And whereas you get someone like Al Hamidi, who... he's just jumped at this chance to join us. And he's, God knows how he's got back from St. Petersburg, you know, to fly. He's obviously had to go via Turkey and various, and he just wanted to be there. And Pierre as well. I mean, I think he's stepping up, because obviously he was player of the year at Shrewsbury a few seasons ago. And, you know, it's taken him a bit of time, but I think he's getting into it. I genuinely do. So we've got, you know, it feels like it's taken time. January did for us because we had to go for a reset, a complete reset, where we had everything settled and we had to go for a complete reset. And then on top of that, we got a whole bunch of injuries.
It sounds from what I, the way that I read it, was that it was agreed from the get-go that he could go and do that, which I... like, well, we agree with Alex, we probably shouldn't have agreed to that, but it sounds like he was probably thought that might happen at some point, so he's going to have it in his contract to begin with, which was a bit frustrating. And yeah, I think it is a bit selfish, and I don't think we should have agreed to that term, but I guess that was part of the term for getting him. In terms of, you know, Pierre and Ali, I mean, I couldn't even come and sit in the stadium from international travel, let alone play on the pitch. So I'm, you know, the fact that they came back so strong. And I've only watched the highlights and whatever, but yeah, I mean, Ali sort of seemed to be really on fire at the end. I hope he isn't badly injured. It is frustrating we just don't hear enough about the injuries, but again, you know, the rumour is that the club don't want to talk about that because they give away secrets or whatever. I don't know what secrets you can really give away in League Two these days, but there we go. So I hope I'm hoping Saturday we kind of field a similar squad and maybe I actually get to see a good game. Plus all the goals are down our end. I can't believe it. What the heck? It's just not fair.
Oh, Adam, you know you're not allowed to go.
I know, that's it, I'm banned.
We don't want to ban Adam or any of our other friends that were not at the game last night, including my wife and my two children that normally come.
I want to ban Drake.
Martin Drake gets named and shamed. Yeah, fair enough. It's Martin Drake for you, really. Well, here's the question. We were planning on all going to Harrogate together. I don't know whether or not we're still going to do that. Or I was going to text Matt and say, has he cancelled his hotel room yet? But
oh, no, we're going. This is the
Good
big
Friday
trip.
In Harrogate.
Yeah.
It's next week, isn't it? Yes, end of next week.
End of next week.
I just looked up the international games that Ali and Pierre played. So obviously Ali went to St. Petersburg, as mentioned, and they lost 2-0. He played 76 minutes. Pierre played the whole game in Grenada at home against the US of A, who had four Premier League players, including Christian Pulisic and Aronson of Leeds, Matt Turner of McKinney also of Leeds, and Matt Turner, the Arsenal reserve keeper. Final score with Pierre playing centre-back for Grenada, not the international team that is particularly well-renowned. Grenada 1, US 7.
They got a goal. They got a goal. That's impressive.
Spoke like an optimistic, optimistic football fan all around. And that was the other potentially great thing about last night. You know, you read things on social media, and we all know that that's not wise to do, but you understand why people chose not to go last night, either because it was cold or because it was midweek or they had other commitments, or frankly, because, you know, they were, I don't know, twiddling their hair or washing their hair or any other excuse I could come up with, because it wasn't exactly in any way engaging or desirable. Having said that, there were new fans there. There were international fans there. I sold programs to Swedish people and found that the card machine, if you use a Swedish card machine, actually says thank you in Swedish, which is even more bizarre. But yeah, it all counts. So
there were 6,000. There were almost 7,000 people there last night. So yeah, it's not full. But think about how the capacity of King's Meadow. You know, that's like four. Almost 5,000 was at King's Meadow, less than 5,000, and we're getting, you know, almost 7. It was, and I understand, you know, and yes, we are, I mean, I am particularly overexcited, maybe too overexcited by this one win when the last few games have been dreadful. But this is the thing about being a football fan. You're allowed to be happy when your side wins a game of football. And we won't know if this is covering up things for another few games, but I think we've stumbled across some stuff here. We brought players in that probably weren't expecting to be anywhere near our first team, you know? And some of them, last night, some of them really stepped up. They did a magnificent job. So, yes, maybe I'm getting slightly carried away, but yeah, it's been so long since we've won. I think we're allowed it. And also, I just want to say, because about Johnny Jackson, I think he's gone through a really tough time. And you know, obviously, we're all fickle football fans. And one minute he's, you know, we're all trying to get rid of him. But he's gone through a really tough time. And I think the big thing we had about him was showing passion. And last night, at the end of the game, you could see how much it meant to him. And all of the other players. I mean, the fact there was loads of our players, so injured players, were in the tunnel watching the game, you know, and really invested with it. And at the end, everyone was just so pleased. It felt like something more. Do you know what I mean? It felt special, a special night. It's just football.
Oh, absolutely right. And you're right that, you know, one swallow doesn't make a summer and all that. But looking at Jano, looking at Pearson, looking at McAteer, and especially obviously looking at Ali Alhamady, these are guys that we've had either on loan or, you know, permanent transfers for the best part of 3 months. That's the first game that most of those players that have been involved with that where we've actually won. You know, when we beat that in the won that Stockport game, we had, you know, we had Brown in defense, we had Pearson in defense, we had obviously Pell still fit, we had Josemi up front, we had Davison as well. And we've had to try and, you know, these, it sounds like excuses, but we've had to try and mix and match, basically. And really, Jackson's just had the hand he's dealt, which is, you know, 9 youth academy products, I believe, were in the squad at Barrow, and probably only one or two fewer than that played last night. I mean, someone like Ogundore, no one had heard of him at the beginning of the season. He came in, he did pretty well. He had a couple of games where he didn't do so well. He was substituted off. Then he disappeared without a trace, wasn't even on the bench. Then he reappeared to go on loan at Dartford, which I think is Conference South. But that was the first football he'd had in a couple of months. He played 2 games there and then had to come straight back again to come straight into the team.
Yeah. Final word on that game. And social media gone quiet. I had to check to see whether I'd somehow muted the conversations and somehow unsubscribed from a load of stuff. But, you know, no notifications, nobody commenting. Yeah, it's great. It's great, isn't it? Let's do that more often.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say there were some people who were saying that they're not renewing their season ticket and such like. So when season renewals come out, I'll be first in the line.
Look, people are entitled to vote with their feet, as they say, but at the end of the day, we're football fans, and is being a football fan a particularly rational, logical thing to do? Not necessarily. But then you get the unexpected, unbridled joy that the four of us sitting in a row got watching the game and at the final whistle after 8 minutes and 20 seconds of injury time last night. And there's not much for those of us that do follow football, and people listening hopefully will appreciate this and will empathise. There's not much else that can match that type of emotion. And especially when it takes so long, as it has, between wins, between home wins and so on and so forth. People choose to miss games, then they're going to miss out on that type of enjoyment, so to speak. And that's their prerogative overall. You would hope that some more of them can make Saturday, and you would hope as we're playing Rochdale, who are down there at the bottom, that, you know, we can show that there is a bit more about us. Crawley were not all that, but we were so woeful that we lost. Apparently Barrow were not all that either, but again, we missed some things. There's a lovely interview with Will Nightingale on the club YouTube channel earlier on, where first of all he talks about just fessing up to the simple mistakes they made, which resulted in two goals being scored against us and therefore losing against Barrow. And second of all, apparently every time he wins man of the match, since he has done when he was an 18-year-old on his debut, he gives the champagne to his mum. So hopefully his mum's got a little drinks cabinet, either that or she's an alcoholic, but, you know, unsubstantiated rumours of us.
Well, she'd only be an alcoholic if he won that many Man of the Match awards, to be honest.
No, the other thing with that Will Nightingale interview was that I was like, he obviously starts and he's got a black eye, and I'm thinking, oh, how did he get that? Not realising that he got that at the Barrow game, and he said that he couldn't open his eye like the day before. So again, literally, you know, even the fact of that, you know, if you can't play football with one eye, and the fact he's got ice on it for the couple of days and then manages to get on and score a goal, you know, it's just, well, we know Will's committed anyway, don't we? But it's kind of just, if that commitment can sort of continue to feed everyone else, which it sounds like everyone's sort of getting a bit more excited, then we should be onto a good end of the season, hopefully.
The one thing, one caveat, Alex, so I want a caveat on the game, the whole thing, is that last night was brilliant. The emotion and the release at the end of it was fantastic. It was unbridled joy. But I'm happy not to wait that long between victories. I don't want this to be a common thing of having that joy. I mean, really. That's right. I want it to be a one-off. And has to have much, much more regular victories.
Yeah, 3 days, not 3 months, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Yeah, talking about the social media, and I think we finished it. Obviously, people were moaning on after the Barrow game completely, and I didn't really see much of it. But even my dad messaged me and said, "Oh, I think I should get off some of these Facebook groups." But then, of course, he said it reminded me. He said, "Well, I don't know what they're moaning about. They've seen one relegation in whatever, you know, X number of years." He's like, "I wish I'd only ever seen one relegation." So it's kind of like, I don't understand why people are so fickle. But I think maybe social media lets you be that fickle, doesn't it? And suddenly you see all this noise that we don't normally, you'd have here for the evening in the pub afterwards, and that'll probably be it. But now it sort of carries on through the weekend and basically ruins everyone's weekends. So yeah, I'm glad it's gone quiet again.
And again, if your friends are an Arsenal fan or a Tottenham fan or Chelsea fan or even a Fulham fan, you know, local fans here, a lot of those clubs have had relative periods of success in recent times. So I guess that's what you're trying to compare it to, you know. I've got an unbridled grudge against Fulham, and it's not really Fulham's fault, but it's basically down to the fact that Fulham stole in and took the whole football and the community opportunities in around Wimbledon and Kingston in the 15 years when we didn't have a league club. And that's not down to Fulham. That's not Fulham's fault at all. That's just them being opportunistic, really. But now, obviously, with all the money pumped in that they've had, and now they're in the Premier League, they're doing rather well, and they're probably going to be in Europe next season. And we can laugh at Tottenham. There's always got to be good to laugh at Tottenham. Because it still amazes me living in leafy edge of Surrey, edge of northwest Surrey and southwest London, how many Tottenham fans live around here and commute to games. I see on the train going into Plough Lane. It's ridiculous. Okay. I thought I'd switch tack a little bit while we're in a positive mood, much more positive than we were when we were recording last week's. First of all, I should have mentioned this at the top of the show. The fact we're recording late is just because we didn't have time to be able to organise things. Adam was travelling back, and obviously we had the midweek game yesterday. It's not connected whatsoever to the fact that we waited until we won a game before we were actually going to record this week's pod. But what I thought was sensible to do, I made a quick list of the players that we've had playing for us this season, Obviously, some of those have gone. We know that Asal's gone. We know that Taylor's gone. We know that Magoma's gone. And some bloke called Hudlin as well. But I made a list of the players we've still got. And I thought it would be a good, quick thing to review, position by position, where we think we're at, which of those players would be possibly a good thing to keep on board for next season. Bearing in mind, I don't know that that many of them are out of contract. And therefore, if they are out of contract, we obviously got to renegotiate that. We may or may not be able to afford that. But if they're still under contract anyway, do we keep, do we get rid, do we try and keep on, keep hold of some of the loanees that we've had? So, here's the thing. Obviously, we've got Broom and Zanef in goal. Are we happy keeping both of those?
I think the question at the moment is, when Tanz is fit again, is he going to reclaim the spot? Now, you know, Broom's only played a couple of games. We don't haven't seen that much of him. He did make a couple of saves last night, but he they were very good saves, but he let in a couple up at Barrow. So you always want a better keeper, but are there any better keepers around at the moment? You know, I think our woes more are in the defensive structure than necessarily with the keeper. You know, in tribute to Niall, I will say that, you know, we've got Tanz is a very much a confidence goalkeeper. And so I don't know. I think we're sort of meh on the goalkeeping front. I'd like to see more of Broom and see whether he's actually all that or whether he just had a one-off good game last night. But I'm not knocking his ability last night.
I think, fingers crossed, if you know, we are in that nothing to play for type thing, then I don't see why we wouldn't let Broom have an extended period in goal now. See what he's like, see how he commands his defence, see when we're playing better teams who put us under more pressure than Walsall and Barrow do, how he manages to deal with that, see how he deals with, you know, strikers trying to get in his face, so to speak, because he's not necessarily as physically imposing as some keepers. So I'd keep him in. And then who knows what might happen in the summer, you know. Will he want to stay because he hasn't had such an opportunity? Tanz, you imagine, would still stay, and I believe he's got another year in his deal at least. Maybe we won't start next season with both of those there, but I don't know that necessarily either would be such a great loss. But equally, if we did start next season with both of them there, I'd be quite happy with that. You know, they're both competent League Two keepers.
I think there's not that many opportunities for keepers at this level. There really isn't. So I can't see, unless someone comes in for them, and I can't see that happening, to be honest with you. I think they probably both stay. And hopefully they battle it out between them. And my feeling probably is that Tan's contract probably isn't extended after next season. And Broom steps up. And it'll be really interesting to see, does Broom now keep his place? That would be the interesting thing.
So in defence, we've had, if I've got this accurate, 10 individual players that have played some minutes this season. Obviously, we started the season 3-5-2. We've been 4-4-2. We've been different formations at different times. But at any different time, we've had a combination of Pierce, Gunter, Ogundere, Biller, Brown, Curry, Nightingale, Kellenby, Pierre and Jenkins playing at the back. Now, as far as we know, Gunter may be out of contract, and as discussed at the top of the programme, as they say, I'm not sure too many fans are going to be so upset if he's not necessarily seen in a Wimbledon shirt again. But of all the others, if they're in contract, would we keep them all? Do we want to keep them all? Do we need to keep them all?
I think they're working
progress. Out of contract, Mark?
I don't think any of them are out of contract in defence.
I mean, you look at our first choice back line, which is probably in the middle, Pierce and Callum Bailly. And you think, yeah, they were fairly strong. They were playing together through all those nil nils and kept loads of clean sheets, and I think they're good. We had problems when we were losing players to injury. Will and Pierre both had a good game last night. With Pierre, was it a case of him being not match fit beforehand, in which case we've got good hopes for the future? Will is a great club person, has some fantastic games, but also has some slightly dodgy games. Of the wing backs, the full backs, you know, Jack Curry, I would love to keep him, but I think he's our number one trading piece in the summer. Just as Asal went in January, you know, if we can get a large amount of money for Jack Curry, it allows us to reinvest in the squad. And we're going to be a selling club for quite some time to come. So much as I would like to keep him, I think if we get the right money for him, that's potentially a player who could go. Biller and Ogundiri, yeah, I mean, both of them have proved at times that they're really good, and at times they've had slightly more dodgy games, Ogundiri especially. But, you know, they're ones for the future, so I'm hoping that we can bring them on. You look at Lee Brown, and yeah, he's a tough league to fullback, and he's got a rocket of a left foot when he manages to get it somewhere near the goal. So, you know, I think that's most of them covered, and yeah, I would keep all of them except Gunter and possibly Curry, but for very, very different reasons.
I agree. I mean, and I think what's quite interesting is we were saying about having four centre-backs to switch round. And I mean, my feeling with Will is that when he plays consistently, he is up there, I think, in terms of a League Two, even a League One player. I think he's up there. The trouble is when he gets injured and he's in and out of the squad, that's where it's a problem. Because, like, you know, the season before last, we were League One, and I think we scored... We were winning the early games, and he was scoring goals from the corners like every week. Then he got injured, and then it took him a bit of time. But if you have Will, PK, Pierce, and Pierre, then that's probably not a bad four. My feeling is that I wouldn't be surprised if one of those goes, or one or two of them goes, and that might cause a problem. Curry's definitely going to go in the summer, but you know we've got Haas, we've got Oggs, which I think are going to be brilliant players for us for the future.
Just checking out the program, actually, Bill has only played fewer than 15 games this season. Oggs has played barely 10. In fact, Bill has played more than Nightingale has. So that shows, unfortunately, the length of time Will struggled with injuries, and you know. Whatever happens, we all know that when he plays, as Matt says, he is the club guy and he will run through brick walls and so on and so forth, which I'm sure endears him to all managers. Realistically, if we look on him as the first choice, then I think you're going to struggle. If you look on him as one of four and potentially Jenkins comes in, maybe initially next season sent out on loan to a Conference South or Conference team, and then integrated into the first team squad by the end of next season. I'm not sure what his contract situation is, but he certainly looked big and strong and physically enough to be able to be involved like that. And if he can, because again, I think he's had injuries this season as well. So that five works for me. I don't know, as I say, where Pierce is, whether or not they'll think potentially he's too expensive, because I'm sure he wasn't that cheap coming in for Millwall. Having been there for a period of time, but obviously played for Millwall for a long length of time. And I've got Millwall work colleagues who told me that he was, you know, the top player to actually have, and remarked that we'd done really well to pick him up. So I'd certainly like to keep all of those around, I think. Pierre, again, if he's match fit, which he looks like he's getting back to be now, then he is a good, fitter version of the guys that Walsall had last night. And the guys that Walsall had last night were lumbering because they're obviously trundling towards the end of the season, but they've only lost 12, 13 games. So they're an average mid-table team. And at the moment, that's what we are. We have to push on from that, but we're only going to push on from that if we're able to get a consistency of being able to pick seven or eight players that are worth picking and good enough to pick week in, week out for 25 plus games. Looking at the stats here, the only players we've had all season that have played more than 20 games are Pell, 23, Curry, 26, Chislett, 30, 31, Zanoff, 32, Davison, 32. And they're slightly out of date. That was a couple of programs ago. So, again, we can move into midfield. Chislett looks like, unfortunately, again, just based on nothing that you know, really, just things you see online, but Chislett is out of contract, I understand. And supposedly Ainsworth was there last night. I don't know whether or not realistically someone like Chislett could jump into a championship squad at QPR, or whether or not Ainsworth thinks they're going to get relegated and is already planning for League One. Who knows? Realistically, Chislett's been very strong this season. Last night was a great performance, but actually in League One last year, he was a bit part player and he was passed by on so many occasions and didn't really figure realistically particularly strongly. I think he scored more goals this season than any individual season. So if he doesn't sign a contract with us, which would be a shame, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, but if he doesn't, I can see him being picked up by a League One team, maybe Orient, if Orient do get promoted.
So I think the thing with Chiz is he was overlooked, wasn't he? You know, I think that Assal was playing a lot of times in his position. So he was always, they were always swapping. But I think he stepped up. I think he's a great player, great quality player. And earlier on this season, he was scoring some amazing goals, some wonderful free kicks. The issue is, as we full well know, when players are out of contract, they do not sign on. I mean, I don't think any of them have signed on. They're out of contract. So there's things that we know about Wimbledon are, one, we sign a whole load of decent players on loan in the summer, which is ridiculous because they all go off in January. And two, if you're out of contract, you don't sign on. Those are the two things that we realise about the AFC Wimbledon setup.
I'd like to keep Chiz. I think the free kicks earlier in the season, and, you know, he's still got that ability. We just haven't seen them quite connect more recently. Last night, I thought he was brilliant, but he does have many, many off games. So, you know, you'd like to see him stay, but it wouldn't be the greatest loss in the world if we lost him. The other midfielders, I'm starting to come round to Armani Little. Woodyard, I think, is now, he's had too many bad games, to be honest. And yeah, he was pretty good last night, but I think he's for all that he was fantastic last season, this year, not so much. Marsh, I don't think anybody's going to be overly concerned if Marsh doesn't reappear next season. I'm trying to remember who else we've got as a midfielder. Pearson is on loan, and so almost certainly we won't have him, but I think he's got something. I think he's going to be a really good player. I wish we were in a position in the summer to talk to Bristol City about keeping him either for the whole of next season or for the first half of it, because I think he should be playing more minutes. I think he's got a huge amount of pace. He's got a fantastic attitude. Matt talked about the shithousery yesterday, but also, you know, he's just keen to play. And I think that works. McAteer, as I said, I don't think he's shown everything yet. I think he's trying too hard. He's just got to relax a bit. He can clearly play football, but he does get himself booked quite a bit as well. So we'll lose the players on loan. You know, if, however much we talk about, maybe we could sign this player or maybe we could get them back on loan. We don't. We never will. And it's a shame in some cases. In other cases, I'm not so worried about it. I don't know whether we count them as midfielders or forwards, but Jané hasn't really done it for me. He ran about a huge amount last night and played really well, but he wasn't in much danger of scoring a goal. DJ, I'd like to see stay. I think for as much as he's played since January before getting injured, I think he had enough about him. And then you've got the kids and Bendel. When we first saw Alfie Trialist play Hampton and Richmond, we thought he was really good. And he's had a couple of really good games. But more recently, when he's come on, he's only been on for 5 or 10 minutes and hasn't really shown that much. And I think he's a... Although he was quite advanced when he came to us, I think he's slowed a bit. And I think he needs to perhaps be out on loan again at the beginning of next season and get some real experience in conference football. And probably in the long term will make it as a really good, solid midfielder. But he's going to have to toughen up and get his head right on it as well, I think.
And the other one midfield-wise is Pell. Who you know, if he's fit, we keep.
Yes.
You know, Pell keeps. I mean, Woodyard maybe it's coming towards the end of his time. I mean, I think he played well, and but you know, and Armani Little, he's on loan to us, isn't he, from Forest Green? But I didn't know if there was a clause in that we can buy him if we so choose in the summer.
Another allegedly there is. But actually, when I made my list of midfield players, it shows to me where possibly we struggled more than anything. Because really, in terms of senior midfield players as permanent players, we've had Woodyard, Marsh, Pell and Chislett, and that's it. Obviously, we've added Joy Sammy on loan. Again, I think he's out of contract at Charlton. I don't know what Little situation is at Forest Green. I agree wholeheartedly with everything Alex has said about Pearson. I'd like to see him again if possible, but who knows? But yeah, then it's the kids. Then it's Frimpong, who's been out on loan in the non-league. Morgan Williams is currently at Eastbourne Borough. He went to Eastbourne Borough when Bendel came back, and he's a Welsh under-17 international. So I would think that he has the talent, as he's a Welsh under-17 international. I suspect an agent may be at play, so who knows whether or not we might even get priced out of being able to offer a professional contract to one of our own, as they say. And then you've got Aaron Sasu, who was a top goal scorer last season, the under-18s, who's a tricky winger, but again, needs to fill out, needs to play some men's football. And likewise, Bartley up front. I mean, we've got two permanent strikers in Ali and Josh Davidson, which is fabulous. But we all know, and we all know this season, that when we had four, that was ideal. But if you only have two, then one of them breaks down, like Davidson's done. One of them breaks down like Ali possibly did the other night, and then you're left with very little. And at the moment, the backup is Robinson, who's in Scotland, Fesher, who's been in and out of non-league, and Bartley, he still looks like he's a little boy lost in men's football. So do we actually have any concerns whether any of those latter three were with us next year? I wouldn't be concerned if they weren't, but then we need to fill up that squad.
We're assuming Cosgrove and Robinson are going, so they won't be with us next season.
I completely forgot about Cosgrove.
Exactly.
That shows.
Yeah, and then Fisher. Who knows? He probably needs another season out somewhere. And the same with Bartley. They'll probably need another season out somewhere. So we still need two backup strikers. I mean, you know, we go back to that season we got promoted. We had four great strikers that we could switch around. You know, with Elliot, Akinfenwa, Aziz, and Taylor. So we could switch them all around, which was brilliant. I mean, after, you know, you usually be 60, 70 minutes, you'd be playing Tom Elliot. He'd come off and on would come Akinfenwa, and they'd be going, oh my God, we've got to face this now. So it was a great thing to have. But to be able to switch that around, and maybe you get to a point where you know, Davison and Ali are switching in and out of the side together, and you've got a couple of other faster, sort of different sort of players that play alongside them. I don't know. But that would be ideal to have four strikers that you could change around.
To go back to Matt's point from earlier on, you know, we need to be able to see what a Jackson team looks like. So if the likes of Armani Little and Alhamidi were, you know, an example of Jackson Skiverton and Craig Cope working together and actually mining the non-league to be able to come up some rough diamonds or, you know, reserve teams of Championship or League One teams, then so much the better, because, you know, Forest Green are going nowhere, and if they get relegated, which looks like they will do, they'll either release players, as people do when they're relegated, or they'll just jettison things and start again. And then, fingers crossed, someone like Little actually can come in, because he's the creative central midfield player who is decent at set pieces as well, and just seems to get it. That was the really nice thing for me about last night's win as well at the end. The lone players, yes, it was their first win, but they did seem to actually understand and appreciate that. There's a few social media comments I've seen from some of the players today as well. And they get how important that was. And it was only a 2-0 win against a woeful mid-table team, but you've still got to beat the team in front of you. And we haven't done that recently. And therefore, by being able to do that, and fingers crossed, by being able to do that against Rochdale, who, again, you imagine if they go behind, we'll just have the same sinking feeling that we had last season when we were on that bad, long and unwinning run, then that will put us in a good position, and then we'll be able to not coast. We don't want to coast, but we'll be able to actually enjoy some of the games as you get through April and it gets a bit warmer and it gets a bit more spring-like. And then you go to places like Harrogate and actually enjoy yourself, play some good football. There were bits in last night's game, including that Woodyard chance that was after about 5 minutes, where we played some beautiful, intricate one-touch football, which doesn't belong in League Two at all. Doesn't happen very often, and it was really nice to see, and fingers crossed we can see some more of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to add to what you guys all said about the squad, because you say way more than I would have said. I was thinking that the midfield is the worst bit, basically, at this point, and that we've got quite a good series of defenders, and that perhaps we should try and push some of those into more midfield positions. So if you take like Huss and players like that, I think they could move up into midfield. And we've got quite a lot there. So I think there's some options, actually. In terms of the front four, I mean, I if we could keep Davidson, Alhamidi, Robinson and Pearson, then I think we'd have something then, actually. So I don't, you know, I think it depends. The squad changes so much over the summer, doesn't it, in this league. So we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, I think our problem is midfield probably. But maybe we can encourage some of those defenders to be midfielders and get to maybe 4-4-2.
I sort of agree. I agree that midfield is our problem. I think we've got two very good strikers. You'd always like to see at least one more, of course. Everybody always would. If they can find one so that you're not relying on a bench of Robinson and Cosgrove or Bartley or whoever, then that's great. I would concentrate, if I were Craig Cope, I would be concentrating on a defensive central midfielder for next season. I think that Adam's absolutely right that we've got a couple of wingbacks who could play as wingers, but we don't have somebody who could play as a central midfielder. Whether or not we keep hold of Little, I don't know. But I think, for my mind, both Marsh and Woodyard are probably not with us next season, and that leaves a big hole. So I'd be concentrating on getting at least one, if not two, central midfielders. And if we can have Little and Pell to make up the numbers, to be the more attacking players in central midfield, that's great. So yeah, one striker and two central midfielders, please. That's my wish list. But you know what? That's my wish list. And it's not a huge, great, long wish list. We're not looking like we're going to get to the summer and see 10 players leave and 10 players come in. That's a change for us. That's great. That's actually something which I think we can look forward to, unless we get a huge amount of cash in, which doesn't look like it's going to happen. But unless we get a huge amount of cash, we're not going to be able to buy every player that's out there who's a sort of League Two level. So let's build on what we've got and let's try maybe and see whether we can improve the fitness and get through next season with half the number of injuries, at which point I think we're looking at playoffs.
And this is the first summer where you have a head of football operations who's been there for 6 months, assessed the squad, assessed the training facilities, planned ahead already for the beginning of next season and preseason games we're going to do and team bonding tour, whatever is the appropriate thing to do preseason, to put us in the right position to be able to actually know you need players of a certain caliber, you need players of a certain maturity. We talked about the average age of the squad before. But also, if you can keep that spine, as we just talked about there, with Zanef and the fullbacks and the centre-backs, yes, you're quite right, Alex. We may well need to strengthen central midfield. But we're not in such a bad place, especially when you've got two decent quality strikers who we know can score goals at this level. Whether Al Hamadi, who no one had heard of in January, is going to sneak up on the rails and become everybody's vote for player of the season, I genuinely don't know. But we can do that in a future pod. Okay, I'm going to wrap everything up there. As everyone's been quite fabulous and it's still light, which is always a nice thing to do at this time of year when the clocks have changed. Some numbers for the week. We'll give Adam one if he's still awake with his jet lag, because I've given him this little tip on Twitter recently. Adam's number is number 71.
What? Yeah, I'm not really awake now.
The number of hours that Adam's
been awake for.
71? Is it anything to do with minutes?
No.
Oh, okay. That's not a good start then.
71
oh, I don't know, Mark. What,
days you since tell... we won?
Not quite.
Ooh. I can't think of anything you've told me recently.
71 days since we beat Stockport.
No, that's the same guess as the last one.
I just said it a different way, so I'd say yes.
Very good. Okay. Some random person, I don't quite know how or why, but I've seen this in lots of different places in recent weeks because he's been posting all over social media on every fans group so that he can get lots of attention. Some random person has done a listing of the league position that all of the current teams in the league, and presumably some people who are non-league right now as well, like your likes of Wrexham, where they finished since 1888, added them all up together and then done an average. And as a result of that, you can work out what cumulative league position you actually fall in. So if you've finished first the most often and you're Liverpool or Man U or whoever you are, then you'll be number one. We are number 71 on that list.
Wow, I didn't see that, but I'm going to look that up. That sounds pretty cool.
It's a tweet I sent you about 3 hours ago. That's fine, don't worry.
Cool.
You've been asleep. A little more preoccupied, I understand, the last few days for lots of good reasons. Okay, Matt's number is 88, and no, it doesn't refer to the cup final.
Damn it.
It may well refer to something you mentioned twice in about a minute ago.
Oh, right. Do you know what, though, Mark? I can remember the cup final more clearly than I can remember what I said a minute ago. That's the problem. So it's got to be something about 88 days since we beat Stockport.
Correct. Number of days between the last two wins was 88. As ridiculous as that sounds.
That is, well done, that is sir. Absolutely ridiculous. I do not want to wait 88 days between victories.
Okay. And finally, Alex's number is number 6.
I'm having flashbacks now, PTSD, because that's George Marsh's number. I'm not going to get this, I don't think. Number of goals we've scored in that time?
It's a slightly obscure one, actually, because I know a lot of the time we talk about clean sheets and so on. It's not a number of clean sheets. We've done more than that. But
number of times we've taken the lead and lost.
It's actually the reverse of that. It's the number of times we've taken the lead and kept a clean sheet and therefore won the game this season. 6 times.
Because the amount of times we've taken a lead and lost, Alex.
It is quite a few more than that.
I don't think there's a number for it.
Absolutely right. And we're not going to harp on about the number of wins that we... Somebody told me pre-match. And they told me I should put this on the pod, actually, but it was too obvious. told me pre-match that I should use as one of the numbers the number of wins that we've managed last season and this season combined at home. Anyone remember what that could be? Obviously, it's gone up.
Also, six. Last night.
It's probably about nine.
It is nine, correct. It was eight until last night. As ridiculous as that sounds. Well done, Alex. Okay, we'll wrap things up there. That's been episode 31. Thank you very much to Alex. Thank you very much to Adam returning from the good old US of A. Thank you very much to Matt. You can find us sameoldwobbles.com out every Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on when people are around to record. We will see you all online very soon. And you can find us on Spotify, obviously. Thank you very much and good night.